560 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey, but truly you help us find joy in the journey. I'm joined by the Catholic Dream Team.
I ever laugh every time you say that.
Dave Savage and Allison DeLuhl.
Good morning.
Praise the Lord. Good morning.
Yeah, great morning. I'd like it to be a great morning. Who's got that special prayer for us?
I do. Let's start in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, as we walk through this Lenten season, we come before you as one family, seeking your grace and an increase in hope. Strengthen our hearts to trust in your love and your promises, especially during times of struggle. Help us to place our hope in you, knowing you are always with us. May this upcoming season draw us closer to you and to others, filling us with peace and joy as we await your resurrection. We hold fast to your words, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope, Jeremiah 29:11. We pray for all in need of hope, that your love may guide us through this journey and beyond. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. All right. Well, we got an awesome, eventful show today. We got a fan favorite back, Father Silloway.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to show us how to do Lent right.
Amen.
Well, speaking of Lent, I just thought of one other thing we could all do for Lent. It's really easy.
Yeah, what's that?
Make sure you listen to The Quest every day.
Yeah.
Love that idea.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Fill yourself.
And I was thinking about it because you could do, like, if you wanted to, obviously you're going to listen to The Morning Quest.
Of course.
Obviously. But if you want to go beyond that, if you want to, like, a long commitment, listen to Father Ricardo for an hour each day.
Have lunch with him.
Yeah.
That's a spiritual.
Or if you want to do just a little quicker commitment, maybe listen to Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders.
Yes.
Yeah.
That show is, it's like, you just listen for 5 minutes, you're going to get something out of it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, so I mean, if you want to, you know, little commitment, Father or Dr. David Anders, big commitment, Father Ricardo.
And how about Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3:00?
Absolutely.
Every day, 3:00, Divine Mercy Chaplet.
And if you're an early riser and crazy, we have to be listening on the app. What, 5 a.m. Rosary with Mother Angelica?
Yes.
You can do that.
But we also have the Rosary on Demand on the app.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to do that.
It's a jukebox. It's a pay-to-play model, right? No, it's free.
No, there's so many things that you can do and listen to to feed yourself spiritually through the Quest app and listening to the station. Oh, it's great. I mean, I do like listening to music outside of our Quest, but I'm like, when I pop on, I get the most amazing information. And I'm a cradle Catholic. I've been Catholic forever. But when you're listening to Dr. David Anders, when you're listening to Father John Ricardo or any of the shows, you're always learning something. And it's good. It's entertaining.
Morning Quest.
Of course, Dave. Of course, The Morning Quest.
And the funny thing is, too, and I've heard this from so many people, and I've experienced it myself, so many times you turn on the radio right at the time when you hear something you need to hear.
Yes.
And I've heard that from so many people. It's like, I turned it on, and it was like, that was the message I needed at that moment.
Amen.
So make sure you're making the Quest part of your daily rent.
daily rent?
Lent routine.
I love it.
Yeah. that's great. And instead of, you know, so if you're going to go to the movies with your family one night, just make it a Quest radio night, you know, just sit around the old receiver in the living room and gather the kiddos.
Pop some popcorn.
Yeah.
No, but truly the app is amazing. I mean, you can listen anywhere, whether you're a different country. I mean, it's so much information on demand as well on the app. And any of the shows that you've missed with us, you can go on and listen to all of them.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of on demand, I got some scripture on demand, our memory verse for this week.
Yeah, what is it?
No one's being tested right now because we haven't.
We haven't.
It's John 14:27.
14:27.
Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Now, if you want to give extra credit, not as the world gives, do I give it to you. This is good here. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I mean, that's just from the Mass.
That's from the Mass.
Yes.
You know, you don't even need to try on that part.
And then if just look now, with
really,
favor.
And then he said, this is really the part just you would need to memorize. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid.
Yeah, I think that's doable by Friday.
Yeah.
Well, and just hearing peace I leave you or peace I give to you, my peace I get. What is it? Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I mean, just thinking mm-hmm. about that. The Lord is giving each of us. He wants us all to encounter that peace.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I look at it, right? He's talking to me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I certainly hope so, you know, because the alternative isn't too fun.
Yeah.
And I think that that's, you know, that's what I need to remind myself if there's the fear or anything else. I mean, of course, there's a healthy fear of mm-hmm. being distant from God, but a lot of times I would say our fears are not, you know, grounded in our faith, right? And so to realize that Christ promises peace, and if we're outside of that, it's, Lord, what steps do I need to take to trust in you and get back into that neighborhood?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so this is a good one to memorize for any of those moments.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes. Well, we got a great show ahead of us today. Father Scott Riley, priest at St. Brendan Navigator, will be back reflecting on today's gospel. We're going to get acquainted with the sainted, mm-hmm. Learning about St. Casimir. And I have a great devotion to St. Casimir. It comes back to me from my childhood days at our parish in upstate New York.
Oh, cool.
And also, Carrie Allen is going to be with us. She's going to be talking about the Feast of the Holy Face of Jesus. So I can't wait to learn more about that. Today is the actual mm-hmm. feast day of that. Mm-hmm. And coming up next, Father Silloway, pastor at All Saints in Dunwoody, is going to be talking about how we can go deeper this Lent.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
We're joined by Father Michael Silloway from All Saints in Dunwoody. We are so grateful to have you with us, Father. You always bless us with some really important insights that we need to take on our spiritual journey. Thanks for joining us today.
You're very welcome. Great to be with you all again.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Father Michael, Lent starts tomorrow. Are you ready? And then how are you preparing?
Yeah. I feel like even though Lent is later this year than it has been in previous years, I still feel caught off guard by it, to be perfectly honest with you. But for me personally, like what sits on my heart is really trying to get to the main point of Lent.
Mm.
And like I'm taking that from not just what the church teaches about the holy season, but even from the very first words we're going to hear in Scripture on Ash Wednesday from the book of the prophet Joel, where we're going to hear, "Even now, says the Lord, return to me with your whole heart."
Mm.
It's like the point of Lent isn't so much the fasting, the sacrifice, or as the beautiful things it was played on the quest here just a moment ago, about like you know, giving time for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
All those are parts of it, but it's about returning our hearts to Him first and mm-hmm. foremost.
Mm-hmm.
And then a second part of this, like another side of the same coin, is what you're going to hear in the opening prayer of Ash Wednesday Mass. And I just want to read this to you because it's kind of powerful and insightful about what Lent is all about. Where the opening prayer is going to go, "Grant, O Lord, that we may begin with holy fasting, this campaign of Christian service, so that as we take up battle against spiritual evils, we may be armed with weapons of self-restraint."
Wow.
Yeah, there's no namby-pamby kind of just like, give up some chocolate and see how that does for you.
Nope.
You know, this is, it's really, it's like a spiritual warfare that we're invited to enter into, a warfare over the custody of our hearts to get our hearts back to the Lord.
Wow.
Yeah, that's some intense language and some holy language right there. And a lot of people in the church, Father, you know, it is they can sort of sense the tide turning. They are celebrating Mardi Gras today. It's a historically Catholic celebration for preparing for Lent. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. And I think most people probably we know that, but there's more depth we can go into here. Like Mardi Gras meaning Fat Tuesday, literally translated from the French to Fat Tuesday. It was called that because as we're preparing for Lent, people would take all the sweets, the sugar, the flours, the carbohydrates, all this stuff, and just be like, well, we're about to be fasting from these things for the season of Lent, so let's eat them now. And kind of feast on them before we enter into the fast. So don't let them go to waste.
Mm.
But here's a cool fact, too, about Mardi Gras. So even in New Orleans and in some parts of France that still kind of hold on to these traditions, or down in Brazil, and as a matter of fact, too, there's a huge celebration of what they call Carnival or Carnevale.
Yes.
Which is that that time from pretty much the presentation of the Lord on February 2nd, sorry, the Epiphany of the Lord, all the way up to Mardi Gras today, Fat Tuesday leading up to Ash Wednesday. But at the heart of Carnevale, or Carnival, like it doesn't just mean a time of celebration and food and games. It is that. But what it literally means from the Latin Carnevale is the phrase like farewell or bye-bye meat. Carne, meat, vale, farewell.
Oh, wow.
So these even these secular celebrations, they have such deep Catholic roots. It was the time of that festiveness was marked by the fact that we're about to say goodbye to meat. So let's party a little bit before we enter the past.
Wow.
Yeah, we are so happy to be talking to Father Silloway, Pastor of All Saints and Dunwoody, and he is talking about going deeper this Lent. And tomorrow is Ash Wednesday, Father. So how can we take full advantage of all that the start of Lent has to offer us this year?
Yeah, let's look at it practically and spiritually. Like from a practical angle, I certainly invite people to come to Mass. And because you're going to experience there, the Ash Wednesday Mass, those beautiful themes of a call to conversion, a call to repentance. And I always kind of find it kind of personally funny that more people come to Ash Wednesday Mass than they do to even like Holy Days of Obligation.
Wow.
But you are invited. It's not a Holy Day of Obligation. You don't have to have the ashes on your forehead, but it is a powerful, beautiful symbol that helps us to really enter in and to remember what the season is all about. I also encourage people in a practical way to take the fasting and the abstinence really seriously. You know, a lot of times I think we do something kind of like, well, I'm going to fast from swearing.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, well, come on. Let's enter into it really. But even like the physical fasting element of the church tells us that when we fast, we're supposed to just have one main meal. And then maybe if we need them, two little snacks, essentially, to kind of sustain us through the day and to go no meat throughout the course of the day for both Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. So I think taking those things seriously can really help open the heart and really enter into that campaign of Christian service. And then kind of from a spiritual angle, too, like really diving into the why of Ash Wednesday and the why of Lent. Again, that Lent is about this spiritual warfare. Just like Jesus was tempted for 40 days in the desert, we're called to recognize we're tempted all the time.
Oh, yes.
And the temptation is always to some form of an inordinate self-love, a love of ourselves over and above the love of God, love of neighbor. And so that's what we're doing battle against. It's like going to Ash Wednesday Mass, I think can really help anchor that theme into our hearts. And then just one other thing, ever so briefly, is just truly understanding the meaning of the ashes. I do kind of find it funny that Jesus tells us, you know, in the reading we're going to hear from the gospel, he says, when you fast, wash your face. And what's the first thing we do? Is we put a big cross ash on our foreheads. But it's an ancient tradition. It comes from the Old Testament that when they would be called to repentance, you would hear that they would sit in sackcloth and ashes. And the church, the early church, adopted that practice. And it was somewhere around the turn of the second millennium, in like the year 1091, I believe it was Pope Urban II, officially made it part of the liturgy of Ash Wednesday to impose ashes, so that it would be a sign to us of our call to conversion.
Wow. Wow. This is so rich, Father. Again, we're talking with Father Michael Silloway from All Saints in Dunwoody, Georgia. Just going deeper into Lent. And so, Father, as people are taking these steps to Lent and really want to make the most out of this season, do you have any suggestions on how we can keep the spirit of Lent going for all 40 days?
Yeah, two things come to mind for me. First, do go to confession. It is one of the precepts of the church that we confess our sins at least once a year. Any time that we're aware of grave sins. But how beautiful to prepare for receiving the Eucharist during the Holy Easter season to make our souls ready. There is no greater combat against our own selfishness than the humility of confession.
Mm-hmm.
And so going to confession is powerful. Take advantage of the penance services that are going to be all over the place. Most parishes are going to be offering them or extended confession times. And the second thing would be to have our personal Lenten offerings and really reflect on what they're all about. So to be serious about that, just as we're serious about the Ash Wednesday, Good Friday fasting, but to have something that we carry with us all 40 days. So I encourage people, as they're praying and discerning about what to quote-unquote do for Lent, ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to help me to rend my heart, not my garments. I want you to help me to open my heart to where the Lord is calling me to deeper freedom, a greater detachment from material things, a greater openness to prayer, greater generosity, greater charity. So at the end of the day, it's all about spiritual freedom. So really being serious about one's personal Lenten practice. Again, not something like, well, I'm gonna stop punching puppies. Well, you shouldn't be doing that anyway. So but really something that really tugs on the heart and is a little bit more of a challenge each and every day.
Yeah, and just really quick, Father, is there anything that you've given up for Lent that has been particularly meaningful?
Yeah, well, what I'm finding, this has been hard, but it's really powerful, is getting rid of the comfort of a warm shower.
Oh,
I'm not saying I don't bathe at all during the Lenten season.
You didn't need to say that. That really bothers me in a good way.
But the a cold shower, wow. Like, because it's a daily reminder of step outside of your comfort zone, offer something to the Lord. And the beautiful thing is you can offer it for an intention. It's like this discomfort that I'm intentionally taking upon myself. I offer that to you, Lord, in union with your cross, the discomfort you took on, what's the ultimate discomfort of being crucified for my sins.
Wow.
You know, so, and I was wanting to ask you guys the same thing too, if you had any particular things that have been helpful to you guys in the past.
I think for me, something particularly poignant, which I'm going to try to step into this year, and I hope it will crystallize the rest of the season for me, is to spend a truly sacrificial amount of time in front of, in adoration or in front of the tabernacle daily. And I have the number. I don't want to say it because I just don't want to, you know what I mean? People might have their own routine.
Right.
So, but I will say, yeah, I think that as I do that, I have a bunch of other things I'm thinking of, but I think, you know, that's got to be the main thing and the rest will sort of crystallize.
And I think that's the same for me this year, definitely. There are so many moving parts, so many things happening in life where I don't think I'm spending enough time in the presence of the Lord, just being still and knowing he is God. So that's really what my main focus is going to be, just being still in front of him and letting him penetrate my heart.
Awesome. Go for it.
Yeah.
Amen, Father.
Thank you so much, Father Michael Siloway from All Saints in Dunwoody. This is an amazing reflection. You reminded us there's no growth in comfort, no comfort in growth, but
Amen.
God's grace is always with us. Thank you.
You're so welcome. God bless everybody.
Later in the show, we're going to get acquainted with a sainthood. Our saint of the day is Saint Casimir. Carrie Allen's going to be back with us, and she's going to be talking about the Feast of the Holy Face of Jesus. Today is the actual feast day. And then coming up next, Father Scott Riley, priest at Saint Brendan the Navigator, is going to be diving into today's gospel.
Hi, I'm Father John Ricardo. Join me for Christ is the Answer today at noon. But now, let's return to the Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on AM 1160. The Quest.
It is 8:20.
Father Scott Riley, priest at St. Brendan the Navigator, is back with us, and he is going to be diving into today's gospel reflection. Good morning, Father.
Good morning. From the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, 28 to 31. Peter began to say to Jesus, "We've given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come. But many that are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This is a great text because I think we can all identify with Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Peter identifies with us. Hey, we did all this. What are you going to get?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have that attitude. What are we going to get? Jesus is faithful. Jesus will not let us lose our reward. Jesus knows that we are what our hearts are made of. He created our hearts.
Amen.
And our hearts desire, crave, love. We're made for love.
Yeah.
So, giving up everything, there are two types of vocations I'd like to focus on. Number one, the vocation to marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And the vocation to marriage is a vocation to a whole different level of love, the covenant love. It's an icon pointing, as we know,
mm-hmm.
to the true marriage, God marrying his people. Just got to read Catechism number one. God, infinitely blessed in himself in a plan of sheer goodness, really created man to participate in his own blessed life.
Mm.
That's marriage, participating in his life, to be taken up into God. And we messed it up through sin. However, God creates anew. God's gift, as St. Augustine said, "Oh, happy fault, Well, I don't know if he said that, but it's in the Easter Exultet. O happy fault, O necessary sin of Adam, to have won for us so great a redeemer.
Mm.
So this marriage, the call to give up oneself to love another person in that covenant love, to die to self. It's a crucifixion.
Yeah.
To die to self. And then to, without families, I mean, obviously, we're not going to have vocations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a tragedy when a parish has to close.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening so much in the Northeast.
Oh, yes.
And that's where the first, you know, the first waves of immigrants went. And so many Catholics, Irish, Italians, Polish, Germans, you name it. And all these churches are sprouting up, people living the faith, wanting the faith. And hence, these churches were a testimony of their faith. These churches, many of these people, because the government certainly didn't support it, many of them mortgaged their own houses and, yeah. and gave that money to build these churches. And a culture was created.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that culture, vocations came. But you see how it is. It's kind of like having a house next to the ocean.
Mm.
You always got to be maintaining that house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a guarantee simply that those that went before us, that we're believers, that we're going to have faith.
Mm-hmm.
One of the greatest sufferings that I find with people is their children are not practicing the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
No, their suffering is like, well, our parish just closed. There aren't enough priests. Why aren't there more priests?
Mm.
Or maybe sometimes, well, yeah, he can be a priest, but not my kid. To be a parent of vocation is a calling in itself to parents, mm-hmm. to be generous, to live that faith. And Jesus is saying, look, if you love, you will be fulfilled. The lack of love in one's own life just simply leads to a life of sterility, of dissatisfaction to the umpth degree.
Mm-hmm.
Selfishness is not, and egotism is not exciting.
Yeah.
It's incredibly, incredibly boring.
And yeah. predictable.
Predictable.
I think of this on Father, too, right here. It says, this has been, was pointed out to me actually by a hermit when I was able to schedule some time with him. He said, and he's quoting the scriptures here, I say to you, there's no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age and eternal life in the age to come. So I skipped a little bit, but the I think a lot of times you go, well, not inherit 100 times more. Oh, yeah, in heaven, sure. But now it's just going to be a miserable slog. It's like, no, this is, we're going to experience some major graces here on this side of heaven. Right, it's not. I mean, if we are anchored into the Lord, and it's kind of like what you said in your homily, and I'm going to try to remember. It was so good. There's no bench warmers in the Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're going to live the faith, you're not a bench warmer.
Yeah, otherwise you're not in the game.
You're not in the game.
And so this whole notion here that, oh, well, it's just going to be miserable, and then I'm going to get my reward in the next life. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's going to be suffering, but God's grace and joy should sustain us 100 times more.
Well, that type of mentality is coming from a twisted heart.
Mm-hmm.
A twisted heart, the head's not screwed on right.
Yeah.
That person is living according to passions and according to selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
And they think, oh, God's going to ask something. God is inviting us to fulfillment. We are only fulfilled in the measure that we love.
Amen.
Amen.
And selfishness is just the opposite direction to love.
Mm-hmm.
And hence the calling to the priesthood. I have been a priest now 27 years. Thanks
wow.
be to God.
Praise God.
By his grace. My brother Steve is a priest.
Really?
The Legionaries of Christ. Yep.
They got a twofer with you guys?
Yeah, I got wow. two for two sisters, both married, kids. I have not ever in my 42 years in the Legionaries of Christ, mm-hmm. I've been ordained 27, I've not had a boring day.
Wow. Love it.
a day it's like, I don't want to do anything. Oh, Father, you don't have this. I mean, no, I don't, because I get up with the enthusiasm. I know what I want. Mm-hmm. It's not, I'm not bragging.
Christ.
I know what I want. When you know what you want, when you have your why, you start your day with the why. Why am I getting up?
Yes, yes.
If it's like, oh, man, what am I doing here? Like, don't waste your time.
Yeah.
Discover the why. And this is what Jesus, this is the why. They're like, Peter is saying, well, I don't know. We've given up everything. Why am I following you? What are we going to get?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus explained, helping them understand, but as well, the part of persecutions.
No, that is wonderful, Father. And that could be a takeaway even. What is your why?
What is your why?
Wow.
Start with the why.
There you go. Oh,
that's a great phrase.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Father Scott Riley, LC from St. Brendan the Navigator. We are truly grateful.
God bless you guys.
It is 8:28. I am Allison DeLuhl. From CatholicVote.com, Pope Francis experienced two episodes of acute respiratory failure, which resulted in a bronchospasm. The Pope resumed non-invasive mechanical ventilation. The Holy See Press Office reported that Pope Francis remained alert, oriented, and cooperative. Josh, you need tissue?
No, okay.
The prognosis remains guarded. A Republican-led Senate bill aiming to prevent biological males from participating in women's sports failed to overcome a legislative filibuster on Monday night. The bill introduced by Senator Tommy Tuberville, Republican from Alabama, required 60 votes to advance but fell short with a 51-45 vote along party lines. The proposed legislation sought to define Title IX protections based solely on reproductive biology and genetics at birth, aligning with a recent executive order by President Donald Trump titled Keeping Men Out of Women's Sports. The White House expressed strong support for the bill, stating that men participating in women's sports is demeaning and dangerous to women and girls and undermines civil rights laws. Later in the show, Carrie Allen, parishioner at St. Luke's in Dahlonega and founder of Proclaim My Word, is back, and she's going to be talking to us about the Feast of the Holy Face of Jesus, which is the feast day for today. And then coming up next, we are going to get acquainted with the sainted, and our saint today is St. Casimir.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey.
With Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
Chuck Persner's back. We're going to be talking about our saint of the day. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison.
Good morning, Josh.
Good to see you, buddy. Who we got today?
Good to see you both. Yes, we've got the Polish prince, St. Casimir, today on March 4th. It's an optional memorial for those of you keeping score. As one commentary suggested, Casimir grew up in a world where his life was not really his own. And this is going to speak to the fact that he was born into royalty. And we've had a few saints in our short time on the air that we've had the opportunity to talk about. Elizabeth of Hungary comes to mind, King Louis the Ninth. So there have been royals who have achieved sainthood, and St. Casimir is one of those. But, you know, as a prince of Poland and the second son of Casimir the Fourth and Elizabeth of Austria, his life was preordained to cement his father's authority and increase Poland's power. That's what the children of royalty were meant to do. And Casimir realized from an early age, though, that his life belonged to someone else, and it belonged to a king much higher than his father. Mm-hmm. Despite the pressure and the humiliation and rejection, he stood by that loyalty, as we'll see, throughout his entire tragically short life, really. He was born the third of 13 children in the year 1461.
Wow.
He was committed to God from childhood, and some of that commitment was the result of a tutor, John the Ghost, whose holiness encouraged Casimir on his own journey, because he didn't really grow up with it in the family.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting how this tutor would somehow find his way into his life through the work of the Holy Spirit and would encourage him and cultivate and help him to grow. And it, you know, it may be hard for us to imagine royal luxury as a pressure, but for Casimir, the riches around him were temptations to forget his true loyalties. And, you know, we know that famous scripture passage that it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to attain the kingdom of heaven. So, you know, that scripture passage really resonates today as we reflect upon his life. And, you know, yesterday we discussed another saint in Catherine Drixel, who also grew up amidst extreme wealth. But in the case of St. Catherine, she was really encouraged to pursue holiness, whereas Casimir wasn't really. He was rebelling against the rich and fashionable lifestyle. The clothes he was expected to enjoy, he wore instead plain and simple clothes. He even rejected ordinary comforts in his life. He slept very little. He spent his nights in prayer, and when he did sleep, he would lay on the floor, not on the royal bed. Yeah, so this is extreme mortification, I think is the old school term for it, right? And even though he was a prince, many of those around him, you know, they must have really questioned his choices, because here he had the opportunity to live in the lap of luxury, something that most secular people would truly aspire to. Yet in the face of this pressure, you know, Casimir chose modesty, mortifications, and always remained friendly and calm in the face of any humiliation he faced or any of the barbs that came from those in the kingdom. And you know, his father no doubt wondered about him and must have seen and admired Casimir's strength. So again, you know, you see that holiness is attractive, and it catches the attention of those who don't possess it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of Casimir, he showed, essentially what he did was he sent Casimir as head of an army to take over the throne of Hungary at the request of some nobles who were there. So I don't know if this was an opportunity to try and snap him out of his holiness, even though, you know, it was one of these situations where he sent him right into the first man into the fire. And Casimir felt the whole expedition was wrong, but was convinced to go out of obedience to his father. He could not help but feel at every step that it was disobedience to his own holy father, though. And when soldiers started deserting, he was only too glad to listen to the advice of his officers, and he turned back home.
Wow.
And his feelings were confirmed when he discovered that Pope Sixtus IV had opposed this military move that was made. So he knew that he was in line with the Pope and the Holy Father, and therefore the will of God. And his father, on the other hand, was quite furious at being deterred in his plans, and banished Casimir to the castle of Noki, hoping that imprisonment would change Casimir's mind. As we see with all the saints, his commitment only grew stronger, and his exile, he refused to cooperate with his father's plans anymore, despite the pressure to give in. He even rejected a marriage alliance that his father tried to form, which is the reason he is the patron saint of bachelors. And instead, he studied and grew in faith and in helping the poor. And this was a man who died at a very young age, at the age of 23 in 1484 from lung disease.
Wow.
So there you have the life of St. Casimir.
Well, and we were talking before when you were telling us about the saint, being born in upstate New York, in Amsterdam, we would go to St. Casimir's in Amsterdam.
Right.
That's the Lithuanian church.
Okay.
So within there was an Italian Catholic church. Lithuanians went to another one. The Polish people went to another one. So many, many beautiful years at St. Casimir's. So a lot of good memories.
Those are great memories. We cherish the churches we grew up in. You know, I know that I think of them often as well, the churches that formed us and the memories we have. And of course, St. Casimir is the patron saint of Lithuania and Poland.
Yes, yes. The sad part, you know, when I was there probably 15 years ago or so, there aren't as many Catholics in the community. So I think the Hindus purchased it. So I remember going back into the church and just writing in the book my memories of it. So I was grateful that I got to go back again. But we have to pray for an increase of faith, right?
Yeah.
And in those small towns, because Amsterdam's not huge, right? So
we've got to continue to pray for an increase in Catholicism, continue to get the word out.
Yes.
You are on this morning program. And, you know, Pope Benedict XVI warned us that the church may indeed get smaller.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully more intensely holy.
Amen. Amen to that.
Yeah, and he lived a life of prayer, fasting, and service despite being a prince. I mean, how impressive is that? He spent nights in prayer rather than sleeping on a royal bed.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's incredible. You remember what Jesus said, could you not pray or stay up for 1 hour with
us? Yes. Yeah.
And this guy is rocking and rolling throughout the night with our Lord. Pretty amazing. Had a deep devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and which was, he recited a special hymn, the Omni Dei di Mary. This is basically translated daily, daily sing to Mary. Which again became associated with him, and helped the poor, the sick, especially distributing alms and refusing to indulge in excess wealth.
Yeah, in fact, he loved that song so much, it's now known as the Hymn of St. Casimir. It was played at his funeral as he was carried off. They played the song. How beautiful of an image that is.
Oh, my goodness.
Being carried home to his eternal mother.
And it's amazing that he passed away at 25. That is so young.
Yeah, very young.
He's also the patron saint against plague, bachelors, kings, princes, and then single laymen. So
and he succumbed to lung disease And, you know, back then, that was the reality. We don't have the doctors, or we did not have the doctors that we do today. So we did lose a lot of these saints at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, his mortifications and the sacrifices he made may have affected him physically, but he gave it all to the Lord.
Mm, amen, he did.
Yeah. And his relics, by the way, are in Vilnius Cathedral, drawing thousands of pilgrims yearly. And this guy just inspired generations of Polish and Lithuanian Catholics to embrace their faith over worldly power. That's a message that endures through the ages.
Yeah.
Does it show where the relics are? Is that in Poland or Lithuania?
That is in Lithuania.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the Poles are such great people. You know, I am not Polish myself, but like, have you ever met a Polish person you didn't like? You know, and
no, because I've got my mom's side of the family is Polish. My father's side was Lithuanian.
Well, there you go. Oh, you got them both.
Oh, seriously, in upstate New York, we would go to Podagi's. We'd go to polka dancing and bingo. So,
well, the food and the entertainment, I'd have to step back on. I'm not sure polka dancing and eating pierogies would be my idea of a Saturday night.
Podagi's are delicious. Oh, my goodness. And the dancing is so much fun. When you are watching people dance, I mean, it is a fun dance.
The beer barrel polka.
My parents are adorable when we go to... When we've been to some different family weddings.
Oh, they're still cutting the rug?
They've got the polka dancing, and they are dancing away.
All right.
Yep.
And so we're well represented in the Communion of Saints with St. Casimir today, St. John Paul the Great, St. Faustina. It's a great culture to fall back on, and we're grateful for our Polish Catholic friends who are listening. And today is your day, and today is a day for the bachelors, too. All right. Josh, you're a bachelor. Any thoughts on this?
I have some thoughts. St. Casimir.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
You're listening to
The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
And sometimes, Dave.
Sometimes. But I think we need to turn sometimes into all the time. Don't be a lazy bones, Dave. We need you on the show every day.
But I like being part-time.
No.
So just, yeah.
Oh,
just
we
here
want
and
you
there.
To be part-time all the time.
That's so funny.
I found this article. We've been going over these the last few weeks. But the 50 biblical phrases, idioms, and metaphors from the World History Encyclopedia. Which I thought was interesting. Have you ever heard the phrase, there's nothing new under the sun?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that is from Ecclesiastes. Did I pronounce that right?
You did.
Yeah, okay. It's what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun.
Mm.
So that kind of applies to the monotony of life.
Yes. Yeah,
and in colloquial today.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Yeah. For everything, there is a season.
Oh, yes, I've heard that as well.
Reminds me of the Birds song, which I can't sing because, you know, we'd have to pay big money. But for there is a season turned.
Yes.
Ooh, don't finish it.
Do not finish.
Yeah. From Ecclesiastes again, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens.
Mm. Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Eat, drink, and be merry.
That's in scripture.
It sure is.
A very popular song as well. Well, it's a lot. Well, there's an artist. It's very popular. I mean, still very popular, but that's like one of the main lines in this song.
Christian artist?
No.
Oh, okay.
I had no clue that was in scripture, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah. So from Ecclesiastes 8:15. So I commend the enjoyment of life because there is nothing better for a person under the sun than to eat and drink and be glad.
Wow.
And I think that really should be our Lent motto, don't you think?
Yeah, eat, especially when we're fasting, right?
Yeah, just the whole 40 days. You know what? I'm going to give up boredom by eating, drinking, and being merry. Every day.
I think that would be happening today, right? Yeah, Fat Tuesday?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I don't drink alcohol, but still, I think, you know, I guess technically today is the day to really enjoy yourself.
Let loose
a little bit with that appetite.
Mm-hmm.
Up next, Carrie Allen Prishner at St. Luke's in Dahlonega and founder of Proclaim My Word is back, and she's going to be talking to us today about the Feast of the Holy Face of Jesus.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell. Join Matt Swaim and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160, The Quest. But now, let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:47.
And we are so happy to have Carrie Allen, parishioner at St. Luke's in Dahlonega, back. And she is the founder of Proclaim My Word. And she's going to be talking to us today about the Feast of the Holy Face of Jesus, which is today. So welcome back, Carrie.
Good morning. Good morning.
We are so glad,
to be here.
Oh, we are so glad you're here. You really bless so many people in this diocese. I know this is something a lot of us are just rather unfamiliar with. So I know Allison's got a question to tee us off.
Yeah. So, Carrie, when was the Feast of the Holy Face established, and how did it start?
Well, it was officially established in the Catholic Church by Pope Pius XII, 6 months before he died in 1958. But it began, really, it was requested by Jesus himself in 1938 when he appeared to Blessed Maria Perina de Michele. And he appeared to her with a bloodied face by his passion. And he said, as he was speaking of his face, he said the following: "I wish that it be venerated by a special feast on Tuesday, the day before Ash Wednesday." And he went on to say, "I wish that the feast be preceded by a novena in which the faithful make reparation with me, joining together and sharing in my sorrow." Mm. So the feast day is officially today of the Holy Face of Jesus, and it's called Shrove Tuesday. And it's always the day before Ash Wednesday. And the word Shrove comes from the English word shriven, which means absolved of sins. So the purpose is for us not to wait for Lent to begin, but to reflect, to confess, to repent, and prepare ourselves spiritually for Lent before it actually begins.
Yes, no, absolutely. You know, and Carrie, what is the Holy Face devotion?
The Holy Face devotion, unfortunately, is a very little known devotion. And it's referred really to more than just a devotion. It's called a plea from God to help make reparation for all the blasphemies that happened not only to Jesus during his passion, but also all the blasphemies and sacrileges that are happening to him right now. Mm. He revealed himself to Sister Maria of St. Peter, who was a Carmelite nun of Tours, France in 1843. Mm. And Sister Marie received visions of Christ's suffering, and where he asked that the faithful make reparations for the sins committed against mainly the first three commandments and his faith. Mm. And that includes denial of God through atheism and communism. And he used that word communism in the 1800s, before that word had ever been revealed to us.
Wow.
Really?
Yep. Wow. And also to make reparation for blasphemy and sacrileges by taking his name in vain, which we hear a lot of today, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah, we just sometimes take it for granted the way people use the name Jesus or use God's name in vain. Mm. And when you say something in vain, it means that it has no value.
Mm.
And that's the opposite of God.
Yeah.
But he also says that there's an antidote to that. When you hear someone use God's name in vain to say, "Admirable is the name of God." Mm. Every time you hear somebody use,
"Oh, I love that.
Admirable is the name of God."
Mm. And you know what I do, Carrie? It's funny. When I was my prior jobs, somebody would say, "Oh, my God," and I would be like, right, "Praise God." So I turned it around, and it's funny because that guy, every time he said God's name, he was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry," after I was like, "Praise God." So just making people aware that God's name is holy.
That's yeah. right. That's
absolutely right. And right. Carrie, I'd love to know, what has this devotion meant to you, and you know, how do you really embrace it in your spiritual walk?
Well, I became aware of it a couple of years ago, Josh. It just kept coming to me. Every time I turned around, I would see something that dealt with the Holy Face. And the more I got into it, the more I felt like, gee, I think the Lord's asking me to help promote this. Mm. So I started doing more research on it. I've ordered medals and prayer books, which if anybody is interested and wants to get any, they're welcome to contact me at proclaimmyword.org, and I would be happy to send them some. So I'm doing whatever I can with some other, of course, some help from other people, Jerry Tearsmith for one, and Janice Givens. And we have a small group that meets once a month on the first Fridays in every month at Christ the Redeemer. Mm-hmm. And we pray about this, and we do some brainstorming on how to let people know about this devotion, mm-hmm. because it's not well known. It was very well known before World War II. But then after World War II, it died out. And now recently, you see it coming back. And again, it's a plea from God to help repair the damages, to make amends for the blasphemies against his son.
Mm. Yeah, and it's something, like you said, that it can unfortunately just be ingrained in, you know, societal vocabulary, you know, especially in television shows or movies, right? I can't tell you how many times I've seen a movie or a TV show, and it's just a staple in the dialogue, and I'm thinking, you don't need that.
Mm-hmm. No, so unnecessary. The other, I mentioned that the sins committed against the first three commandments, the last one that I want to mention is the profanations of Sundays and holy days.
Hmm.
I don't think we take that very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
God gave us Sundays as a gift. It's a gift to help repair us, to help heal us, for us to get rest. And when we spend it working unnecessarily, shopping unnecessarily, catching up on chores unnecessarily, we're rejecting his gift.
Mm.
And that's considered blasphemy. Mm.
Mm.
Now, I never considered that blasphemy until I got into this.
Wow.
Yeah, I think a lot of times we can forget how great of a gift the Sabbath is until we step into it. You know, mm-hmm. I'm certainly, it's so easy to pick up a chore, a job, whatever it is, and forget that how restorative that day can be when it's fully embraced.
That's right.
So, Carrie, when it comes to the Holy Face, the image itself, I'm reading here that it's often depicted with the veil of Veronica, which is said to bear the imprint of Jesus's face when Saint Veronica wiped it. Is that the case?
Yes, it is. Veronica, she was very courageous. She stepped through a crowd of angry people, and he was surrounded by Roman soldiers, so she was quite brave to approach Jesus, wipe his face to comfort him and to console him. And she is remembered today. And Jesus told Sister Maria, he said, "I seek Veronica's to wipe and honor my divine face,"
wow,
"which has few adorers." And that's when he dictated the reparation prayer, the one you just heard called the Golden Arrow Prayer,
yeah,
that we hear on the Quest Catholic Radio prayed several times during the day. And he also said to her, "I firmly wish that my face, reflecting the intimate pains of my soul, the suffering and the love of my heart, be honored. Whoever gazes upon me already consoles me."
Mm.
So Veronica consoled him, and he's asking us to do the same today. By gazing upon his face, we console him.
Mm.
And again, I have prayer cards with his images. If anybody is interested, then I would be happy to send them to them.
Thank you so much, Carrie Allen. This has been so enriching. And where can people go if they might want to learn more about this?
Well, there is a very good app called His Holy Face. And on the app, you can get the novena, prayers to the Holy Face, images to the Holy Face, and the history of the Holy Face.
That is wonderful.
Also, website seekhisholyface.com.
That is so wonderful. And Carrie, if people want to get more information about Proclaim My Word, I know we've had your Bible studies here on the Quest. Where could they go for that as well?
info@proclaimmyword.org.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Carrie Allen, parishioner at St. Luke's in Dahlonega and founder of Proclaim My Word, for blessing us with this beautiful information about the Feast of the Holy Face devotion. And again, today's a feast day, so what a great day to learn about it and to actually put it into practice in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Thank you, Carrie. We are so grateful for you.
Oh, thank you. I'm grateful to you and to Quest Radio.
Amen. God bless you.
You too.
It is 8:56. 857, yeah. I got that right, didn't I?
You nailed it. That's why it's not some of the time, it's all of the time, Dave.
And so what have we learned today? We're gonna make the quest part of our daily Lenten routine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And also a Bible verse.
Yeah, and it was, I know the verse. Do you guys know where it's located?
John 14:27.
Okay, do you know what it is?
Yes. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you.
That's good. You know the follow-up?
I don't.
But I'm surprised. That's really good, though. That's really good. So, I do not give to you as the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid.
Amen.
But you nailed the first. That's great. And you got the... I honestly didn't remember where it was located in Scripture. So.
Well, Josh, I do have it in front of me. I like having it in front of me as well. And you didn't try to close my computer this time.
Well, that's coming. So, get ready for the pop quiz. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.